Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're sure glad to have you with us. We are rolling forward. Those of you that are following the podcast, it's a lot of fun when we have some of our experts and guests with various backgrounds in the industry. And we also try to mix those in, Dan, with these sessions with you and I, and trying to add from our years of marketing agency expertise and experience some topics that we think are going to be really useful. And I think today will be no exception to that.
Yeah. We have talked a lot up to this point, at least the episodes Chris and I chat, talked a lot up to this point about strategic planning and all the components of strategic planning. And you know, we wanted to get more into, you know, some real life examples, some, you know, things that other banks are out there doing. So we've been trying to, you know, as we get guests on from banks, we've been chatting with them about their experiences, but, you know, just the work that we do day to day, there's lots of good stories. We were just chatting about one before this too, that we wanted to dive into on this episode. So yeah, we'll get into it. So Chris, you've been working with a number of banks, but the one we've been talking about is kind of on the smaller side, I think, what, about $300 million?
Yeah.
And you've done some really cool stuff for them around mortgage and digital campaigns. So yeah, let's dive in. Tell me a little, and you kind of hinted before we hit record here, but yeah, let's get into like the overview of what you've been doing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, I think the value of kind of walking through this episode with us for our listeners is we get asked, and I know you do too, all the time about best practices. Because I mean, we're not doing a tire shop and a bakery and a bank. We're doing lots and lots of community banks from our client base, and that's who we're working with. So I think you and I were visiting. This is a great opportunity, I think, for our listeners, hopefully, to hear some of this best practices stuff. And, you know, oh man, that's a great idea. That's we can actually do that. So I hope that's what this, and we were talking about doing a much larger million plus an asset bank at a later episode. So we want to do a couple of these, Dan, I know, and give some folks some good juicy takeaways from this. So, yep.
Yeah. So I think it's best to learn from examples and if you can see what's, you know, working in other banks. But yeah, we were talking about it's depending on what size your bank is or what sort of institutions you support, the world can look a lot different for a smaller bank with maybe with one person focused on marketing or half a person that's also focused on compliance or something else versus, you know, a larger bank with a full team.
There you go.
So we're going to try to kind of over time cover a bunch of different stuff.
Right. So these guys in particular have been great clients of ours for a long time. And I think the benefit of the perspective here is, so this was about 3 years back. So this was not in our current environment of raising, increasing rates and all of that. But when they came to us from a strategic planning standpoint, a number of months ahead of time, was they wanted to increase their scope with first-time home buyers. Okay, so this is a fairly common one amongst community banks. So the great thing was, this wasn't, hey, we want to put some ads out next week. This was, hey, we really want to be deliberate about this 2 quarters from now. So what do you guys think as our agency? You guys are our partner. Let's do this.
Yeah, like they wanted to be known for the first-time home buyer bank in their area.
There you go. There you go. Which after we got through via Zoom and phone calls, giving them hugs for being ahead of time, not hey, we want to increase our loan portfolio, so put some ads on Facebook next week. It was not that.
So we had a board member that said, you know, that told us we need to increase loans, and now it's an emergency.
There you go.
Those are always tough.
Yeah. So I just brought up takeaway number one, which is planning well in advance from a campaign standpoint, right? So you and I have talked a lot and had some of our guests talk a lot about marketing strategic planning. So this gave us the running room to do that, which gave us running room for creative, which gave us running room for implementation. Therefore, I think it led a lot to the success outcomes that we'll talk about a little bit. So that was the first thing that we did, Dan, was it gave us an opportunity to look at demographics, their current portfolio. Even if it brought a couple of one of their LPO, you know, guy into the discussion, and you know, all of those, and said, okay, great. Given this information, and this is where we got to identify the target market, and to be specific about that, and it gave us as agency partners time to evolve a strategic plan. Okay, so if this is the goal, then part two was budget. So we talked about budget. So they're looking at the revenue opportunities. So we needed to say, okay, well, you know, here's what we're outlining. Number one is a strategic plan, which included time frame, target market, you know, all of the whole planning process. Then we got into budgeting for it and really what it would take. And the good news was they were willing to spend some money to make money.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a fairly rural, ballpark $300 million in asset bank in here in the Southeast. And it was great that they understood that they needed to spend some money to make money. And we would keep that within, you know, moderate levels, but that was really key. So we had all of those discussions up front, Dan, and then budgeting. And man, it was nice. So we made sure that everybody knew where we were going before we got started.
So where did the need for this, or where did the idea for or sort of the desire to go after this first-time homebuyer market come from in the bank? Like, was this marketing person? Was this from the top down?
Yeah, it was top down, to answer your question. I mean, it was C-suite. It had discussions with board and had looked at this, and it was part of their 3-year strategic growth plan, you know? So that was the cool thing, is it came from that level. It wasn't reactionary. It wasn't this. It was like, this is part of how we want to grow the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, and I've seen that on a lot of bank plans and I know there's a lot of banks out there that will say, hey, we need to grow first-time home buyers. So let's get our mortgage lenders out on the streets. And marketing is kind of a afterthought or a second, you know, it's the second tier of the strategy. Well, I guess, you know, you've been working with this bank for a long time, so I'm sure you've brought them over to the dark side of marketing.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the C-suite is understands like what marketing can kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they've got their mortgage lenders out on the streets as well. But, you know, I always like to talk about your digital campaigns support your mortgage lenders. They build the brand awareness. So it sounds like they understood that already.
That's correct. They did understand that. And they also understood, because of the longevity of the relationship with us, that we needed running room, not only for that strategic planning, but then for the messaging and the creative, Dan. Mm. So the great thing that happened next, so it was that strategic planning and then the budgeting and being delivered about that in a timely fashion. And then part three was we got to say, oh, great, guys. Okay, give us whatever it was, a couple of weeks or maybe a little more than that. And we'll get back to you with creative. Okay. So then we got to close the door and our team got to sit down and do. And a lot of times, what's the most fun part of agency work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we ordered lunch in. Man, we sat down. We got all the whiteboards out. You know, where are we going here? And it was so great because we had our whole top to bottom team, you know, together that really did that planning and dug into the messaging and having messaging of consequence that was reflective of their demographics, you know, and all of those things. So it wasn't us just yanking a bunch of stock photos and dropping them in Facebook ads or billboards. You know, it was a whole campaign planning process and that included all of our graphic designers and our web and you know, all of our team. So we got to put together a true storyboard outline for them around the messaging and creative that
Don Drapered it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
I think messaging and creative, it's really easy to have it become the afterthought, right? When the campaign, when you're trying to get something launched quickly, it's like, let's just throw this out there. And that's, you know, that's how you end up with Trusted Local or We Do Mortgages. Or I saw a billboard today, actually, I was driving home and saw a billboard that said it was for, you know, Zelle or one of the peer-to-peer payment systems. And it just said like, make your money mobile. But I'm like, I don't know what that means. That doesn't talk about a feature. And then there was like an iPhone screenshot and then a dog. And I'm like, how does any of this go together? And, you know, it may have been on brand for the bank and it was like clearly designed, but like if the messaging doesn't connect, then, you know, even if you don't have an agency, I think get in a room, you know, we've said this on this podcast before, like get in a room with somebody else and bounce ideas off of each other and develop it out. Don't just say Trusted Local or We Do Mortgages. Like you've got to connect.
Man, it's being on our toes instead of on our heels. And there's such a significant difference there. And, you know, it's not the old Mad Men thing of we're not trying to win ad awards or any of that. That's great for some agency people. I'll be very honest. I don't give a crap about any of that. That's not really what I'm about. The whole point was the integration of this campaign and then preparation for the implementation of it so that we were going to create conversions. And that's what gets me excited, Dan, is, you know, when 6 months or 9 months out after implementation and the whole thing walks out, if I'm able to go back to that bank CEO and we start talking, and I'm not jumping ahead here, but we start talking about the ROI that he got from this and our messaging process and our creative process was part of what made that happen.
Yeah. Well, can you talk a little about the process? I mean, like what happened in the room and,
Yeah, absolutely. So it was the identification of the target market and who is it that we're talking about. So we had done some research and actually gotten the bank's help and some other, and we had done some research about life conversion points. Okay. Because first time home buyers, well, who are those? Well, it was kind of the obvious things, but we dug deeper into who that was. And it's obviously it's newly marrieds, people that are coming into money. It's this and that, you know, and it was more typically people moving, after college. It was all these different things. So that was all that stuff that went up on the whiteboard. So then we identified who they are. And then we developed a process of how do we talk to that group of people? Okay. So it was the opposite of random. It was deliberate.
Yeah.
So unfortunately,
the message for newly marrieds is different than the message for college grads.
Absolutely.
Which sounds super obvious on, you know, as we're saying it here, but, you know, again, when you're rushed into creating messaging, it's Trusted Local and that's what everybody gets.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't, you're trying to appeal to everybody and it lands with nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. Where's the call to action in we are your community bank?
Yeah.
Awesome. That does nothing for...
Well, then those could be good for brand awareness, right? Or like you're doing a local newspaper ad. Maybe you say something broad of 120 years and going.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're actually trying to get people to call or start a mortgage application, you know, maybe they need to have seen that general brand awareness ad a bunch of times. But when they, you know, when you actually want to convert them, you know, that's when the connection really needs to happen.
Yeah.
The connection is easier when you've built that brand awareness, but.
Yeah. So it let us then build up a full portfolio of imagery that we got approval from and you know, we were making sure to hit, you know, diversity and all kinds of the things that we needed to cover there. But we also set up our local photographer here because we didn't need to be at the bank. So this client of ours is a state over from us. So, but we didn't have to be there because this wasn't about the front of their branch. you know, buildings or anything else. What this was about was this young couple buying their first home. So we teed that up here.
Yeah, so as long as the homes where you are look kind of like, you know, but if you're all kind of in the Southeast, so be pretty similar. Versus, you got it. You know, I've definitely seen some ads that are like, I was supposed to be a Minnesota bank, but there's palm trees in the background. Correct. Or something. That's a bad stock image for you.
Yeah,
but
yeah, if you're here in Mississippi and you see ski slopes in the background, it's probably not.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so it gave us all of that and it let us build up all of our content, Dan. And then what we were able to do in the room, so to speak, was gather all of that content. So imagery, copy content. Again, there was balance for conversion, but not pushy, you know, and all of these things and kind of the quote unquote tagline. So we were able to kind of scope out all this content element, all these content elements of the storyboard. And then we took it to planning out and looking at and taking the budget parts and all that kind of stuff and putting it into the implementation platforms. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that's where we start to break it up into, okay, traditional. So direct mail, if that's going to, and who are, you know, what, all the different parts of the traditional, then the social media strategy. So the content, the posting, the ad campaigns, you know, who is that going to and how are we reaching them and what social platforms are we using? Digital ads, how are we, what's the strategy behind that? And how are we going to, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute too, but you know, and web. So we've got the landing pages and everything that we need. And here was the good thing about all that. Once we did all that, so we had the time frame, we had the campaigns built and everything else. Then we went back to our client. And Dan, what was really important is we wanted to make sure that their team was ready also. What we didn't want to do was, again, I'll just use this example. A portion of this was around the digital ad campaigns. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want that happening. And we're driving traffic to a landing page and they click to call and the person at the bank answers. And they're like, hey, I saw this ad for, you know, whatever. And we didn't want anybody stammering or going, you saw what ad or what? Oh, and no, we made sure that our client was preparing their team to answer the emails, the inquiry forms, the phone calls and all that kind of stuff. Like they had been sitting there waiting on your call. I mean, you know, Dan, I've been sitting here waiting all day for you to call.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm so glad you called. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That ad. Well, let me, you know, well, hey, tell me about what kind of home you want to buy.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, you gotta continue the experience. If you're going to put a message and a campaign out there that says like, we know what you need, essentially saying we know what you need, or we know like the trials and tribulations of a first time home buyer. And then you call and you get somebody from a bank that doesn't know that the campaign's going on or just hasn't been trained. Then they're like, oh, well, let me have somebody call you back. Or like, I didn't know about this. I'll go check.
Yeah.
Hold on, you know, but if they're ready to go.
Yep.
How did that work? Like how did that frontline staff get trained? I mean, it was a super formal process, but it was like, but at least there's some, mm-hmm. some sessions where you're going through the campaign and what to do.
Yep. So what we did was some one sheets that were actually kind of like brand sheets, but it's specific to the campaign to actually give them snapshots of what was going out on social and all that. We actually showed them the ads and the, you know, and the digital ads, those kind of things. And then we gave, you know, suggestions we didn't script them, Dan, but we did say, hey, so be prepared for this because this is what these callers or emailers or whatever, this is what these people are going to be seeing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let them be prepared. So the answer to your question is, man, the CSRs and the, you know, all these folks, man, they were so excited to be included. They're like, oh yeah, because they're totally disconnected from us as the marketing team, which is not okay. So the answer to your question is, from what I heard, I'm a little bit removed, but from what I heard, they really appreciated being included in that. Yeah. And knowing what was coming, what was being about to be, you know, put out there.
Yeah, so. I know when I'm out there doing discovery with like a new client, one of the questions I always ask is like, what do you wish potential customers knew before they called you or before they walked into the bank?
Mm.
And you always get some really interesting answers. Sometimes it's like, well, how to reset their password? Because we get to 200 calls a day about that. But, you know, then you'll get deeper insights of like, well, I wish they sort of like had some education on the home buying process. Like, how much do I really need to save? What if I haven't saved that? Those types of questions. And then, you know, then we can kind of turn it into a campaign. But what you're saying is really important when that campaign actually starts running is to say, hey, CSR, like we're educating, or, you know, mm-hmm. the marketer, we're putting this messaging out. So here's what people know when they come into you, you know, when you get them, this is what they know. This is the world that they're coming from. That's really a great insight on your part, your team's part, that continue that conversation, make it super seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we could get their butts in the seats at the restaurant, so to speak. But if you cook them a crappy hamburger, nothing I could do about it.
Yeah. Or right. If the ads for the restaurant are all hamburgers and you get there and they just have chicken, like, you're disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. So if what your marketing team and your marketing campaigns and messaging are putting out there, you know, if their initial impression, if you're not delivering on that, because a lot of what this was the dream of your first home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And it is, by the way, as an aside, that's a great example of the kind of really cool things about being in this banking industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that we're all, you know, everybody's doing money. Everybody's doing this. We're all about numbers and all that. Well, you know, from my perspective, Dan, when you save all that away, we're actually not. I mean, yeah, it's deposit accounts, it's loans and all that kind of stuff. But if you tie what's behind all of those, man, some of them is realization of dreams. Some of it maybe just making life easier, you know, because the features that I'm getting on this deposit account are a whole lot better than, you know, whatever I got at my old bank that, you know, so yeah. So I think it's about that. And so, yeah. And then what our team was able to do was it was planned out. The messaging was there. The targeting was there. The budgeting was there. The bank's team, frontline team was ready. So then ding, ding. And we hit, you know, and this was a springtime, by the way. So it was, you know, great time for, you know, mortgage stuff and all that stuff. So boom, Q2 hit and we went into implementation.
You started the process in the fall, right? So, you know, at this point, getting into Q2, it's 6 months, 5-6 months, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yep. Yeah. It's about 5 months. That's right. So yeah. But yeah. We were spending, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas time talking about this spring, you know, mortgage campaign. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So.
So then it kicks off in Q2, and talk about, so how long, give us the specs, like how long was it slated to run for when you started, like kind of what was the general budget? You know, you mentioned it was split across traditional and social.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So it was a 2 month campaign process. So the implementation of it. So we wanted to see what could be, and they wanted to see what could be accomplished in 2 months. So it wasn't too short, but it also wasn't too long, so that it was just getting dry and overused, you know? So they had, you know, good budget in there. There was a little bit of outdoor. There was virtually nothing in print or direct mail. You can't do direct mail because you're trying to reach people that don't have a permanent address yet. Or maybe they do, you know what I mean? Or they're renting, or they're still living with their parents, or about to get married, or whatever the case may be. So we knew none of that kind of stuff would work. So where the real spend was...
And you know, first-time home buyers are more digitally savvy because they tend to be younger, and you know, maybe you, if you could reach them with postcard, it's not, you're going to do a lot better kind of getting that conversion on digital.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we were able to do, largely on Insta and a little bit on Facebook and some other platforms as well too, was to tell the story over time. But we also made sure that every piece of the story was a call to action, you know? So it was six pieces, but if you only saw piece four, you know, then it wasn't that the whole thing didn't make sense to you. But if you happen to be targeted by, you know, because of geography and, you know, whatever the case may be, or retargeting factors or whatever the case may be, if you did see most of or the whole story, then it made even more sense to you.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah. So then we marched it out. And you're right, mostly on digital. So social and digital advertising were the main cruxes of the campaign. And we did things that, again, our preparation work had shown us that if we are try to reach newly marrieds, then how about if we catch them right before that? So, you know, digital targeting for, you know, within geos, you know, and all of those things and within compliance, but there were searching, you know, bridal dress websites and all that other kind of stuff and all that. And then the obvious ones also, or the obvious ones that came to us, is those that were searching Zillow, Realtor.com, you know, all of these sites. And then we combine that with retargeting. So ones that went to our bank client site and particularly the mortgage pages, you know, and all that, and retargeting. So we combined, you know, the elements of all of those campaigns into there, you know, into driving traffic to this landing page that we built out, but it was on their actual site.
Awesome. Yeah. So the campaign runs for the 2 months. Like, talk about some of those results. Talk about kind of what was happening over that time at the bank. I know with mortgages, hopefully you're getting some calls, but it can take some time to get people to start an application process or, you know, shop for rates and all that kind of stuff. But
yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, these are $5,000 car loans. I mean, you know, as you know, mortgages have a high ROI, and this bank does them in-house and keeps them in-house. So they understood from the get-go that they were in their four branches are in pretty rural areas. So there's not large metros and all that. And, you know, their average inquiries per month in prior years during this same springtime, because that was one of the questions that I asked them. So say for sake of discussion, that was 12 to 18 inquiries, okay, you know, on average. But that was before we did all this marketing work. So the year that we did all of this marketing work, then it increased that by greater than 50%. Hmm. So they're getting more like 20 to 26 inquiries, which, you know, they, as you say, it's not a high conversion rate, but they were converting 3 to 4, maybe 5 more of those a month. Well, so if you do the math and you spend a few thousand bucks on the preparation work, and then you're getting, say, 5, 6 more mortgages a month. And I'm talking about converted, closed,
right,
you know, mortgages and that kind of thing. Well, man, if you do the lifetime value math on that, it's exponential. I don't know what it was. It was extremely exponential.
Yeah. If you go into the bank and say, hey, if you gave us, I'm making these numbers up, these don't necessarily tie to the campaign because I don't know the actual campaign numbers. If you give us $10,000 to run this campaign, you know, we'll get you 20 more mortgages than you would have had otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to like do the math and say, well, okay, each mortgage is worth X thousand dollars and times 20. But, you know, I think what this required of the bank is a big kind of leap of faith or willing to take on the risk, but which is hard for a bank. But like, you know, we're not saying we're going to get you 40,000 mortgages a month that you're going to be the Bank of America competitor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just throw $500 in Google ads at it, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you spend the money to think ahead and, you know, like you said earlier, kind of spend money to make money, like it can work with the planning and the process. And that's great. I mean, it, you know, as a smaller bank, like we were talking before this too, like 5 mortgages may sound like a small number, but like incrementally for a small bank in rural locations is huge.
Yeah. So I think the lesson from what you're saying is, if somebody in our listening audience here is working with a bank that's a, you know, 5 times that asset size or whatever the case may be, well, in theory, you kind of take the same numbers and you just increase them incrementally, you know, and if you're getting the same percentage of ROI, then that's what you're after. This one was easy to talk about, Dan, from a mortgages standpoint, because the application, we all kind of understand the marketing process for that and all that. But I mean, you know, the same thing can be applied for commercial loans or whatever the case may be from what it is that you're talking about, which is, you know, spending money and being realistically about what it needs to look like on the back end, you know, that a small rural bank is not going to get hundreds more inquiries. And that's not really the point, and it certainly doesn't need to be the expectation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and right, it's like kind of right-sizing the campaign for the bank and right-sizing the budget for the bank. And you've got to spend money to make money, but at a small bank, that doesn't mean nearly as much money as at a larger bank.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're, I think if your exec team is not willing to spend the money, you know, there's ways to spend less money, but what that usually means is, or the way to make a campaign work on smaller dollars is to like hone it in even more. Mm. Like you were mentioning, oh, we targeted newly marrieds and we targeted like these three or four different audiences, you know? And so if takeaway for other small bankers listening to this is like, if you think it's going to take, let's say $10,000 to target those four audiences, but you know, your management will only approve $5,000, then target two of the audiences. Don't try to hit all the audiences smaller, right? You've got to go for the saturation. I think that's one of the cool things you did with this is you pick those audiences to make sure you get the saturation over that period. Cause you need to get those 5, 6, 7 ads, those, you know, 5, 6, 7 touches on those prospects to get them to reach out.
There you go.
The focus should be on, I think too many campaigns that are out there focus on how many impressions do we get? How many, let's just throw $5,000 at Facebook. But it really should be, how do we structure this to get 7 touches on the target group? Mm-hmm. And then your budget dictates how many target groups you can go after.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes. So it's being more deliberate and specific with whatever your parameters are, your budget parameters or whatever the case may be. We had another client over in Georgia, actually last month, that same kind of conversation. You know, their budget for their spend on the campaigns we were going to do for this is more deposit account oriented, but you know, it was not ideally what we thought that it should be. So the same question came into play and we had the same response you just gave, Dan, which was don't spread the mustard thinner because you're going to be more disappointed. So why don't you pick, and what ended up happening is they were like, okay, we're not going to do it in these four areas. We're just going to do it in this one. And boom, it worked.
Yeah. And then when that works, right, then you can go back to your leadership team and say, this worked.
Yeah.
Now let's do these other three. And then your leadership team is a lot more willing to say, great, here's the 10,000 that you asked for originally, because now we know it works.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, we always try to start with banks, start small, but that's the big learning is you can't start with a small budget spread everywhere. When you start small, you're lopping off, you know, you're lopping off chunks of the audience, not spreading it thinner.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we learned from this, Dan, is now our agency has actually put together a campaign creative brief process form, if you will, but a discovery form. So we actually now have gotten even better at doing this even more efficiently. So now if we have a client ask us or we present the idea to a client to do this kind of thing now, we've even refined the strategic planning part of the process even better. And I'm glad to share that with anybody that's listening on this podcast, just so you can know how to do this for your own team, even if you don't work with an agency or with us. So that could be a useful tool we'd be glad to throw out to folks.
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to see that too.
Yeah, I'll be glad to share it with you too, Dan.
Yeah. Well, this is really great. Really interesting to kind of talk through some real life campaigns here. We've been we've been talking a lot strategically and high level stuff, but this was really interesting to see how you broke it down. And I really like the piece of training the CSRs and really focusing on the messaging. I think those are huge things that often are forgotten.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, great. Well, good. I hope this gave some useful takeaways to folks, Dan, and I know in our show notes too, we can kind of put specifically, you know, what those are. And again, folks can reach out to you or me through the Bank Marketing Show website that we'll have up here in momentarily as well. And we're certainly glad to have these discussions and help any of our listeners, whether we work with them or not, is fine. So,
yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for putting those resources out there. I'm sure they'll be super helpful.
There you go. Well, Dan, thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chris. This is a great discussion. And I think that wraps it up for this. So you know, we'll look to do some more case study episodes in the future, and have some great guests we're planning for. So stay tuned to the next few episodes, and we'll see you on down the line.
Awesome. Look forward to it, Dan. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and join us next time.